The NBA draft for 2020 is in the books. Finally, we had trades happening. We had strange draft picks. It's just standard for an NBA draft. I'm going to talk about it all in today's show. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We've got a lot to talk about today because 60 picks went down, trades were happening, news was breaking in the NBA as well. I'm going to talk about all 60 picks, a little bit of news on a couple of undrafted guys that have signed just as I've started recording this as well. Tomorrow's show will be the Dynasty Rookie Ranking. So for everyone who's been asking me that, that will be tomorrow's show because now I have to sit down and put these guys into some sort of order in terms of Dynasty Rookie value. So I'm going to do that after I record this show. This is just a recap of the draft. We'll talk about what happened. And then tomorrow is your Dynasty Rookie Rank. So let's talk about some news across the NBA before we get to the draft. And of course, the biggest news probably is the injury news to Klay Thompson. Now, we'll have more information on this tomorrow. But the wording of the tweets was never good from Shams and Woj about Klay suffering a lower leg injury. It's now come out that they fear it is a torn Achilles tendon. Woj is saying there is some optimism that maybe he won't miss the entire season, but it's obviously a significant injury, and I think we should be expecting Klay to miss. You know, this is a months, not weeks type situation. It will be confirmed by MRI, but everything that seems to be coming out is not great at this point. We hope that it's fine, but for Klay to miss one full season with an ACL and then tear your Achilles on the other leg, that is a real, it's a real bummer for the NBA, for Warriors fans, for Klay fans, for whoever, for fantasy people. It's a terrible, terrible situation for him because you have to think it's going to be hard for him to come back at that same level, coming off those two absolutely traumatic injuries, the two worst injuries you can have, one on each leg. That is not a good scenario for Klay Thompson, but we'll get a little bit more information on that tomorrow. But at this point, we're expecting a torn Achilles diagnosis for Klay Thompson. Now, when that happened about an hour before the draft, a lot of people speculated this is going to change the Warriors' mindset in the draft. It didn't. It never should have. I think they still should have taken a guard there anyway. But when you've made your plans, you make them that way. And you have what you're going to do in the draft, irrespective of an injury like this. So I think they made the right choice in sticking with what they were going to do, which we'll talk about later on. But it's obviously horrendous news for the Warriors. The other news is the Bogdanovic trade to the Milwaukee Bucks is off. Bogdan allegedly has never agreed to this sign and trade, which I don't know how two teams can get together and say we're going to sign and trade him if he neither agrees to sign or to be traded, which he needs to do in this scenario. And it looks like there are going to be other suitors coming in and he will enter restricted free agency. Just an absolutely wild set of circumstances. You expect nothing less from the Kings, but from the Bucks, obviously not a great look for them. I don't know if this is some sort of elaborate ploy to walk back the potential tampering charges they were going to get, because of course free agency doesn't start until Friday, and to be signed and traded as a free agency, you can't do that until free agency starts. So maybe it's part of that, but the latest reports coming out have not been saying that. They have been saying that no, Bogdan's just pissed and he's not happy with it. And yeah, fair enough. If he wasn't consulted in a sign and trade where he was being signed, you might want to talk to him about that, because that's obviously he's a big part of that. And yeah, so we don't know what's now happening with those players. Dante DiVincenzo, of course, in that deal, he'll be headed back to Milwaukee. We don't know anything else they're going to do, but obviously a wild set of circumstances to have that deal that was allegedly agreed upon no longer be something that's going to happen. And we'll update that over the coming days when we hear more, about it. But yeah, obviously it's a weird, weird scenario. So what I'm going to do now is go through the draft. We're going to look at team by team what they did and talk about that. I'm not going to go pick one, pick two, pick three. I'm going to do team by team. So just trying something. I think it was going to work this way, but that's what I'm going to do. But before I do that, I need my energy because this was a bloody long day and I need to break through that wall. Now your wall might be physical, it might be mental, whatever it is, Built Go is what you need. It is the energy gel that helps you break through that wall with long-lasting energy that's natural. It comes in three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. 1.5 ounce packages that you can stick in your pocket, stick in your briefcase, stick in your car, wherever it is. When you need that boost to get through the afternoon, Built Go is there for you. It has energy gel plus collagen protein, B3, B6, B12, beta-alanine, honey, and caffeine. And the collagen's in there to help promote soft tissue health, joint health, hair health, and skin health. The stuff literally makes you look better. Go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So use that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Let's go indeed, because let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had pick number one, and they chose Anthony Edwards. It was looking like they were going to pick Edwards in the last couple of days. I couldn't disagree with this pick more, but I'm not the one making that selection. So they made that pick. They got Anthony Edwards. I hate it. I think that Edwards is going to be inefficient. He's going to be third in this pecking order offensively, and he needs the ball in his hands, and he's not going to have it because D'Angelo Russell's going to have it, and Karl Anthony Towns is going to have it, and Edwards struggles with shot selection, defensive positioning, offensive positioning. I don't know if they're going to bring back Malik Beasley that now. I don't know what's happening with Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver. There's a bit of a smash there on the wings. Yes, there's still a three position that's open, and Okogie and Culver will probably play there, but I don't know what this means for Beasley. It obviously means his opportunities are going to be significantly lower with Edwards around, but I would be at this point pretty stunned if Edwards would be a top 100 fantasy player for this coming season. They also made quite a few trades. They bring Ricky Rubio back, the ravishing one. Now, I don't know how the hell he fits on this team as well. Is he just playing a backup point guard role to D'Angelo Russell? I could argue there's a better player than D'Angelo Russell. The vast majority of you listening to this would disagree. I think Rubio is a significantly better player than Russell in terms of contributing to winning basketball. But is he just going to come in and play, 16 minutes as a backup? Now, he loves Minnesota, so he's glad to be back there. He comes across from the Thunder in this deal. Will they play Russell and Rubio together? I think they can. Russell's 6'5". He can play as an off guard. He probably is more of a shooting guard than a point guard, but then does that push Edwards up to the three? It is a really weird guard scenario. I'd say this has a real risk of pushing Rubio out of standard league consideration, or do they start Rubio, Russell, and Edwards at the 1, 2, and 3, leaving Okogie and Culver to fight for those minutes on the bench, and Beasley, he can just piss off and go somewhere else. So maybe I'm being a bit early on ruling Rubio out, but it doesn't look great. At 23, now they had 17, they traded back up again. They were all over the place. In the end, they end up with 23 and 28 at the end of this first round. Leandro Bolmaro, who is not coming over to the NBA this season, the 6'7 ball handling wing guard from Barcelona, who's a really, really strong defender and a really horrible shooter, a guy that, it's going to give it a bit of time for him to come over because we don't know if it'll be this year or, sorry, it won't be this season. We don't know if it'll be two seasons away. Bolmaro, a long way away. And then 28, Jaden McDaniels, another player who needs a ton of development. He's going to fit right in there next to Jared Vanderbilt. There is obviously minutes open at power forward because they don't have one at the moment, depending on what they do with Juancho Hernangómez. So that's not fair. They do have Jim Johnson, but obviously James Johnson is not a long-term prospect. McDaniels is, and a guy that looked really lost in college last season. Similar to Anthony Edwards, probably not quite as bad as Edwards, but these are three guys they drafted, Edwards, Bolmaro, and McDaniels, who all have significant concerns with their shot, and it's a little bit of a worry for how they're going to build this team out. So especially when you've got Okogie and Culver there as well. The only bloke that can shoot is really Karl Anthony Towns. Russell's not a bad shooter, but he's not a knockdown shooter. So there's some absolute concerns there in terms of how they're building that team out. I didn't like the Edwards pick. I don't mind the Bolmaro pick. I didn't like the McDaniels pick. So not the greatest draft, I would say, for Minnesota. And this is on the back of them, not liking what they did last year at pick 6 with Jarrett Culver. So a bit of a rocky start for me for Gerson Rosas. Now, in terms of these picks, there is shit flying around all over in the second round. And some of these picks I may either have missed or I might have got the team wrong because there's conflicting reports all over the place. I think I've got it all covered, but that'll get cleared up tomorrow when I get it. But I'm doing this literally as soon as the draft finished. At pick number 2, the Golden State Warriors. Blunty. Where are you now? James Wiseman, it was always going to be James Wiseman. It shouldn't have been James Wiseman, but it was always going to be James Wiseman. I don't think he's the second best player in this class. I think he's probably the second best center in this class, but he goes at number 2. Will they start him over Kevon Looney and Marquise Chris? maybe, but I think that rookies are generally shit at defense in their first season. Now, this does take a little bit of the pressure off him, because if Clay's out for the season, the Warriors' chances of competing for that title are significantly reduced. So maybe they feel a bit more comfortable with Wiseman, but I think he's only like a 21 to 22 minute a night guy, at least in this season. I worry about what he does offensively and defensively outside of his shot blocking, but he's in a great developmental spot. I just don't expect a massive, massive role for him straight up. And then they get old red hat Nico Mannion at 48, a guy that was projected as a top 10 player before the college season and fell all the way to 48. Point guard out of Arizona, he's totally fine. They do need some backup ball handling help, and he could be a rotation player because, you know, Kai Bowman and Jordan Poole are the guys who were playing backup point guard for this team last year behind Steph Curry. So there's an opportunity for Mannion to be a rotation player, but I don't love him as a long-term guy. Then at 51 is a draft and stash player. Justinian Jessup, the wing out of Boise State, who's playing in Australia in the NBL for this season, for Illawarra, a real knockdown three-point shooting wing who could realistically, like a Damian Lee, like a Michael Mulder who came in at the end of last season, fill a role on this team next season. But Jessup, yeah, at pick 51 there. Next up was the Charlotte Hornets. Love this for Charlotte at number three. Their draft is, how do I say? It's polarizing to me. I loved Melo at three. I think he should have been number one. Getting LaMelo Ball, making him the guy on this team, I think is the right thing to do. Devontae Graham is there. Yes, he can play with Devontae. Terry Rozier is there. Yes, he's shit house. Look, that was a terrible contract at the time. He's better suited to being a sixth man anyway. Melo's going to come in. He's going to play 27 minutes, probably straight away, push to 30 later on. He's going to have some rough shooting numbers, but he's going to pass. He's going to get usage. And I think he's going to generate steals as well. So I do like LaMelo there. He should get significant minutes pretty much straight away. Then I'm not so sure I like it. At 32, Vernon Carey Jr. I'm a massive Vernon Carey Sr. fan, former offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins. I just don't think that this was the greatest use of an asset. Too many centers got drafted in the wrong spots. At 32, Carey went when you could have taken any number of guys. Robert Woodard, Trey Jones, you could have had Jordan Warra, CJ Alibi. Isaiah Joe was absolutely hanging around. Cassius Winston was another guy hanging around there. I just didn't like that use. And then trading for pick 42 to bring in another center, Nick Richards, out of Kentucky. Now the Kentucky boost, I guess, is traveling there with Richards. We know they had center issues, but is Carey or Richards the answer? Absolutely not. What does this mean for Cody Zeller? What does it mean for their perhaps pursuit of Montrezl Harrell? I'm not sure. But yeah, I wouldn't be expecting big things out of Carey or out of Richards. And at 56, an unbelievably good pick. Grant Riller, the shooting guard out of Charleston, a guy that can score, could be literally one of the best pure scorers in this draft, and fell all the way to 56. There's a lot of guards on this team. There is an absolute ton of guards because we've got Rozier, we've got Graham, you've got Ball, obviously. Then you've got the Martin boys who played some pretty good basketball towards the end of last season. And now you add Grant Riller into that mix. Malik Monk is still there. So there's just a lot of guys in that rotation. So Riller probably doesn't get many rotation minutes this season, but he could easily be better than Monk. Yeah, easily. Better than Rozier. Shit, I reckon there's a chance he's a better player than Terry Rozier within a couple of months of this season. But that is how the Hornets draft ended up looking. So some pretty solid selections, I think, there in the end for Charlotte, although a couple of questionable ones there. Right smack bang in the middle. Next up, the Chicago Bulls. Do I have the sound loaded?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
I'm no longer a Bulls fan. Garpax is no longer in charge for Chicago. But Patrick Williams at four, man, it is... Williams didn't start for Florida State. He's got some upside as a 3/4, a guy that maybe can be a solid defender, can maybe provide some offense, but I just don't know what he is. Like, what's the point here? I think there were significantly better players on the board, Onyeka Okongwu, Killian Hayes especially. Williams at four feels like a massive reach. To me, I don't know what Karnisovas is thinking here. I could be wrong on this one. I just don't see it for Williams. I think there's some defensive mobility issues for him, offensive creation and shooting issues for him as well. The defensive stats are okay. It's not a disaster of a pick. I just don't think it's a good use of pick four. Then at 44, Marko Simonovic, a big man Serbian, I believe he is. I apologize if he's not. I probably should just check that because I don't have that off the top of my head. A 6'4 guy that's, I think, going to stay over in... he's Montenegrin, my mistake. Going to stay over in Europe for this season. Big man, 6'11", power forward, decent passer. Not going to be an impact guy, obviously, this season. And the Bulls also, as an undrafted, one of the undrafted ones that I've seen come in so far is Devin Dotson from Kansas. I really like that from the Bulls to bring Devin Dotson in, but not a big fan of these other two selections that they did make. At 5, the Cavs had one pick. They didn't screw it up, so that's a massive win. Isaac Okoro fits a need. They don't really have a small forward on this team. They don't really have anyone that plays defense, and he is both of those things. Now, offensively, I don't really know how he's going to go. There's a legitimate chance that he could end up being the best passer on this team, and that is damning with the faintest of faint praise. The praise I'm damning him with is like two feathers tickling your nostrils. That is how faint this praise is, but it's a chance. He can't shoot. He can finish. He's going to get opportunities here for Cleveland, no doubt about that. I'm not sure that's the direction I would have gone, but I don't think it's a terrible pick. I'm sort of all over the place with Okoro in terms of my analysis of him, and there's a chance he's not even a top 10 player in this draft when we look back in a few years' time. At 6, the Hawks. Now, the Hawks absolutely must have looked at this as best player available because they have the Baptist John Collins. They have Clint Capella, and they went with Onyeka Okongwu. Now, I had Okongwu as the third player on my board, so I understand them going for best player available. There's also whispers that they could be in the market for the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari, if I can find the button.
Hands off my cock!
Or Gordon Hayward from the Celtics. Now, Gordon Hayward in the Celtics sign and trade, sending out Clint Capella? Possible. Okongwu is just a really, really solid player. He's not a massive, you know, high-level All-NBA type guy, but a switchable defender who I think can become a decent shooter, and I think he's got some passing chops there as well. The value in at 6 there is really strong, even if the fit isn't fantastic for Atlanta at this point. And then at 50, they chose LSU point guard Skylar Mays, an older player. I think he's 24, but a guy that absolutely could, if they don't sign the guy that they're expected to sign, and that's Rajon Rondo in free agency, Mays could come in and be a rotation, a third point guard, a backup point guard, and do it at an okay-ish level. So I think at 50, it's actually not a bad selection. All right, let's talk about this team that I think we've got almost the most to say, because Detroit went ham, really. They were just trading shit all over the place. They ended up with pick 16 and Trevor Ariza because the Houston owner is absolutely...
the worst!
Tua Fatita, the worst owner in the NBA, hands down, just saving money all over the place. And then, in some sort of... how do you say it? I don't know what the right word to say is, Fatita buying the potential 60th pick in next year's draft for $4.6 million. It is the shadiest accounting I've ever seen. And no wonder his businesses are in a little bit of trouble, because that is not what that pick is worth, but that is him getting himself and saving money by doing that and dumping Trevor Ariza on the Pistons for a future first rounder, which is protected 1 through 16 for 3 years, and then it turns into 2 seconds after 2 or 3 years after that. So that was a good piece of business for the Pistons, getting Trevor Ariza, getting pick 16 as well, selling that pick, which means jack shit, and getting cash in it as well. So really, yeah, no-brainer piece of business from them. At pick 7, Killian Hayes falls into their lap, and they knocked it absolutely out of the park. He should be the starter day one. Derrick Rose is still there. I don't imagine Derrick Rose is going to be on this team for all that long. Hayes should be a guy that they build around. A 6'5 point guard. Yes, he only goes one way. I think he can shoot. He can pass. He can defend. I think the athleticism concerns aren't anywhere near as big as what people make them out to be. I'm really in on this pick. I think it is an absolute massive home run pick, and I hoped that they would do this, and they did it, and it's fantastic. And then I don't know what the hell happened, because at 16 they chose Isaiah Stewart. It is a horrible use of resources to pick Isaiah Stewart. What are we doing with an undersized center who can't shoot or pass? Like, there is no point for Isaiah Stewart at 16. You got this pick here. And then what they also did is traded away the duck, Luke Kennard, to get pick 19. You traded away to get, I just don't understand what you're doing. Why did we take Isaiah Stewart at 16? What was the point of it? Just take Sadiq Bey at 16 and keep Luke Kennard. It's clearly the better move, in my opinion. But what are you actually doing here, Detroit? Great from you, Troy Weaver, for Killian Hayes. Love it. Isaiah Stewart getting the pick. Unbelievable. Trading away Luke Kennard and taking Isaiah Stewart. Horrible. I just can't see it with Isaiah Stewart. If you want to take a center, take Xavier Tillman much later on. He went late. He went 35. You could have got him at another spot. You love trading picks around. 19 for Sadiq Bey. Yeah, it's fine. I think Sadiq Bey is okay. I don't think he's an absolute home run guy, but a lot of people predict him in the lottery, and he fell, and I think that's fair enough. Tyrese Maxey was on the board at that point. You could have gone with him, and I would have gone with him at that stage, but I don't think Bey is a terrible one. I just don't think that what he showed at Villanova is going to translate to the NBA, but as a three, and they need him, fine. And then at 38, Saben Lee, a point guard from Vanderbilt. Athletic guy. He's signing to a two-way. That's fine. But I'm not really sure, you know, is he an NBA player? Probably not. So I'm not really sure of the use of a two-way guy at pick 38. Getting Ariza in, fine. Rodney Magruder came in that deal for Luke Kennard. That means absolutely nothing. And they also traded for Tony Bradley. I would imagine that getting Tony Bradley in, drafting Isaiah Stewart, means that they don't think that Christian Wood is coming back. So I think the crucifix might be moving somewhere else at this point. I don't know that for sure, but that's what it feels like. So Tony Bradley comes in, Rodney Magruder comes in, Trevor Ariza comes in with Hayes, Stewart, Bay, and Saben Lee. So really some interesting selections here. Now, I'm just going to double check something here because the Tony Bradley one... Did I get this wrong? Maybe I did. Let me have a look. No, I was right because the trade was pick 38 and Tony Bradley. So that's where they got Saben Lee and... did they trade 38 for Tony Bradley? No, it was 38 and Bradley for some future considerations from the Jazz. So a big overhaul to this roster, and I'm pretty sure they're not done yet, but some questionable moves, I would say there, despite me absolutely loving that pick number 7 of Killian Hayes for the Pistons. Next up is the Knicks. When you can predict what's going to happen for a team as shit as the Knicks, based on the fact that their new GM used to be the head of CAA, and then the coach they hire, who shouldn't have been hired as a coach, Tom Thibodeau, is a CAA client, and then the pick that they have at pick 8 is a CAA client, and it shouldn't have been the pick, it's poor. Obi Toppin at number 8. Remind you that they had Marcus Morris, Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson all come in last year. Randle is still there. I would think they'd want to get all the way off him because he's not that good. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. Toppin, you know, I think he has massive concerns. I think he would fit as a bench scorer type on a good team. This is not that team. So Obi Toppin at number 8, I just think, again, is a poor use of resources. You could have taken Denny Avdija, and I'm not the biggest Avdija fan. You could have taken Devin Vassell, which would have been a massive, massive home run hit. You should have 100% taken Kyra Lewis there at pick 8, but no, they chose Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin. I could not hate the pick more. I think it is... I don't even know how to say it. Maybe he's going to prove me wrong. And a lot of you will tell me that he is going to prove me wrong. I just don't see it. And I think at pick 8, it's a bad pick. I think he's a fine bloke. I just, at the age of Jason Tatum, that he currently is, can't defend. I worry actually about if he's going to be as impactful offensively as he was in college. I just think it's a waste. And then at 25, they were wheeling and dealing. What they did in the morning, they traded up from 27 and 38, I think it was, to get to pick 23 from Utah. That's at pick 38 that ended up in Detroit, because they were looking to package picks up to get Obi Toppin, and then he fell right into their lap. Like, what are you making these trades 12 hours in advance for and then not using it? And then, so they didn't have 23, so they traded back from 23, which I think was a good deal for them to do that with Minnesota and get 25 and 33. And then at 25, they take Emmanuel Quickley. What are we doing here? I think Quickley is interesting in a... You know, I'm picking him at pick number 50. But at 25, you still don't have a point guard on this team. Quickley is a point guard, theoretically. A point guard that averaged 1.9 assists at Kentucky. Yes, it's Kentucky, but that's not a point guard. He shot really well, 43% from three. And that's the encouraging thing. But pick 25 from Manuel Quickley, I just hate it. So I'm sorry, Knicks. I hate it. I just hate these picks. And it's not me bashing on the Knicks. I just think it's stupid. I think it's just a poor use of assets. At number 9, the Washington Wizards select Denny Avdija out of Israel. Totally fine. I just think it's okay. Like, he's a shit shooter. Maybe it improves, but I don't know. He's an okay defender. He's an okay passer. He's a pretty good cutter. The Wizards need a 3/4. He's probably going to be better than Rui Hachimura. Whether they believe that or not, I don't know. But I think he's going to be a better player than Rui. Can he play alongside him? Probably. Should he? Probably not, given the lack of shooting between those two. But he's totally fine. He'll be in the rotation from day one. It's not a bad pick from the Wizards. It's not a home run pick by any means. Again, other players are on the board that they could have taken in that spot. Devin Vassell, absolutely standing out as an option. But they didn't. And they did make some other picks later on, traded them away. But the one they ended up with is one that I love at pick 53, Cassius Winston. I think he should have been a first-round pick. If the Knicks want to take a point guard who's an excellent shooter at pick 25, here's your guy, Cassius Winston. And the fact that he went 28 picks later than Emmanuel Quickley is ridiculous. And I know he's older, but he's a 40% three-point shooter through every year of college. Bit small, but love the pick. Ish Smith and Shabazz Napier were running point for the Wizards last year. Now, John Wall is back. Maybe Winston doesn't play a huge amount, but he can come in at pick 53. And if he's a rotation player straight away, I am not going to be surprised. I think it's an absolutely great piece of business to get him at that selection. Just having a look to see if any other news on undrafted guys has come in for these teams that I've talked about. Well, let's have a look here. Yeah, Charlotte has signed Nate Darling of UAB. So that's one of those deals that has come in. And I said Devon Dotson already went to the Bulls. Oh, Lamar Stevens of Penn State signed a two-way with the Cavs. And Ashton Hagens signed a two-way with the Timberwolves. So a couple of other guys coming in there. But yeah, back to the Wizards. Okay pick for pick 9 at Avdija. 53 for Winston. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good, really good. The Phoenix Suns at pick number 10 select Jalen Smith. Now, the piece on Jalen Smith, I think he's a good player. Like, I think he's got real good upside. Shot blocking, three-point shooting, big man. But you've got a center. You've got DeAndre Ayton. Do they think that you're playing him alongside Ayton? That doesn't feel great. Again, options absolutely out the wazoo here. Pick Kyra Lewis pick him there. Make him your backup to Chris Paul. Chris Paul is old as shit. Give Kyra 2 years, then he takes over. What do we do? If we're taking a backup to DeAndre Ayton, why don't we take a backup to Chris Paul instead, who's actually a better player? Smith lacks strength. He could be an absolute bust clearly here. I just think, again, it's a poor use of assets to select Jalen Smith at pick number 10. If you're Phoenix, it just doesn't make any sense to me. The San Antonio Spurs, actually love it. 11, Devin Vassell. I think he could have gone at number 4 easily. Love him at number 11. He's a good shooter. He's a very good defender. They need someone who can play up at the 3 alongside these guys that can't shoot, like DeRozan, Derek White, DeJounte Murray, although White shooting in the bubble was fantastic. Aldridge, they can't shoot. Vassell can. Put him out there. He can do a little bit of creation for himself. He's a good defender. I love this pick. Now, we don't know. The Spurs don't use rookies very much, so his role is going to be pretty limited. I think he already automatically comes in as better than Lonnie Walker. I don't really have too many concerns about saying that. But he probably won't be in the rotation over Lonnie. But this is a pick for the year after. And they've got Keldon Johnson there as well, so another solid wing. But a White, Murray, Vassell, Johnson 1-4 in 2 years' time. Looks pretty bloody good, to be honest, for San Antonio, so I love it. And then at 41, Trey Jones, fantastic. Just a very strong backup point guard who can pass, who can shoot, who's a good offensive player. Just an absolute no-brainer pick with him sitting there at 41. I love it for San Antonio. I think they did a really, really good job. Now, the Sacramento Kings, your automatic reaction is, they screwed it up. They're shithouse. I like it, to a degree. 12 for Tyrese Haliburton. I think it's an unbelievably good fit. Haliburton is not a point guard. He is a 6'5", ball-handly sort of connecting piece guard. You've got a point guard in De'Aaron Fox. You're probably going to lose Bogdan Bogdanovic. Haliburton can play Bogdan Bogdanovic's role. He plays off-ball. He can be the secondary creator. He doesn't have to be tasked to be your primary defensive player as well. Fox can probably do that. Or Corey Joseph comes in. He basically just takes the Corey Joseph role. I love this fit. This is exactly the pick that I had for Haliburton in my last mock yesterday. I love the fit. People said, oh my God, I can't believe how far he slid. This is exactly where he should have gone. I love it. At 40, Robert Woodard of Mississippi State, a three-point shooting wing. They have almost zero threes on this team. In fact, they have zero threes on this team. So Woodard could actually be a rotation guy straight away as a solid shooter and a good athlete. No-brainer pick. And then at 43, Jamias Ramsey, who I'm not convinced is actually an NBA rotation player, but somehow shot well at Texas Tech last year despite being a horrible free throw shooter. And I don't project him to be a great NBA shooter. And he's a terrible defender and he's not a passer. But I don't mind taking the flyer at 43. I just don't think it's the greatest pick. But the first two, love pick 12. Pretty strong for 40. And 43 is not bad for Jamias Ramsey, but not great. The Pelicans, they had a lot of picks and they pissed them all off. Basically, apart from 13, where they went absolutely ham and they chose Kyra Lewis Jr. I had Lewis at 4 on my latest board. Yes, there is Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, Lonzo Ball. They are all point guard or point guard adjacent players. But if we're being honest, Lonzo Ball is a Tyrese Halliburton point guard, probably a secondary sort of guy. Eric Bledsoe, he's not going to be on this team forever. George Hill, he's bloody older than me pretty much, so he's not going to be on this team forever. Lewis can come in, he'll sort of battle Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I think he's a better option than Alexander-Walker, especially as a creator for others, as a passer. Alexander-Walker's more of a scorer. But I think it's a great selection from the Pelicans, and it's an absolute home run, even if his role will be fairly limited in his first season. But love that for the Pelicans at 13. At 14, the Celtics had three first-rounders. They ended up with just two, and I don't think they did well with them. At number 14, they chose Aaron Nesmith, and I think they bought into it the way they just went, okay, let's sort by three-point percentage. Shit, 52%, let's pick this bloke. It was 14 games. It's a small sample size. He was a 33% three-point shooter as a freshman. The fact that he generates like half an assist a game is mind-boggling. I think defensively he struggles. He can't do anything but shoot. But I guess if you're looking at this Celtics team with Walker, Brown, Tatum, Smart, you just want someone. Go stand in the corner and hit threes. The actual opposite of what someone like Romeo Langford did, who was in the same spot last year. But is Nesmith actually a good shooter? I think he is. I think he is a good shooter. Is he the best shooter in this class? Probably not, despite that three-point percentage, which is there's no chance of continuing. And then at 26, Peyton Pritchard. Like, Pritchard's fine. But at 26, after they promised him this spot, a draft promise, which you know I hate, there were plenty of better players still available on the board at that spot. For example, Malachi Flynn, Desmond Bane, Tyrell Terry, Teo Maledon, Xavier Tillman, who would have been the perfect selection for the Celtics there. I could go on. There are plenty of other options who are better there than Peyton Pritchard. I just don't understand it. To sort of save their draft, at 47, Yam Madar. Love it. I was going to sneak him into the first round in my last mock. I had him early second. He's not going to come over this year. They don't need him. They don't have the roster spot. But a really tenacious defensive point guard who can pass a little bit. The shooting is still a work in progress, but I love it. Maybe he eventually can be a Brad Wanamaker type. But the Pritchard one just doesn't make sense. I think Nesmith, if it was any other team, I would kill them more for it. But yeah, I don't love that pick of Nesmith there. At 15, the Magic choose Cole Anthony. Sure, why not? I think there were better options on the board, but Anthony, I think, will be much better on an NBA team with shooting. Unfortunately, he's going to the Orlando Magic, so he's not going to have that shooting around him, such as basically North Carolina again. He can be much better than he was at North Carolina. He's not going to challenge Markelle Fultz for the starting point guard job this year. Can he play alongside Fultz? I have my doubts about that, but losing DJ Augustin, if you get a solid backup point guard at pick 15, it's a win. Remember, you don't get... I know Kawhi Leonard and Yanni were both picked at pick 15. That is not what you expect from any of these picks outside the top 7 or 8. If you get a solid rotation player, you're doing pretty well. And I think it's not a bad selection for the Magic at number 15. At number 16, we've already talked about because that was the Isaiah Stewart debacle. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they traded up. They used some of their picks. The ones they got from the Lakers, their 25th pick and the 28th pick they got from the Lakers for Schroeder and Ricky Rubio, to send to the Minnesota Timberwolves to take my mate, your mate, Alexei Pokusevski. I could not froth over this harder. I don't know how much he's going to play straight up. The Thunder are very far away from being done. Steven Adams out of there? Maybe. We'll see. Darius Bazley probably will be their starting four, but Pokusevski could realistically be in the rotation this year. He is a 7-foot point guard who... is audacious in his shot attempts and pass attempts, and he's a rim protector. He's just weak as piss, but I love this pick. At 34, they choose Teo Maledon. Like it as well. Get your backup point guard in there. They lost Schroeder, they lost Paul, they lost Rubio, who they just acquired. Maledon can come in and probably be a rotation guy immediately behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A strong pick. At 37, they select a guy. Now, the only guy out of the 60 guys who was selected who I had literally had done no research on was Vit Krejci out of the Czech Republic. Now, Krejci is not going to come over. He is rehabbing an ACL. He is a 6'7"-ish point guard. 6'8". The numbers for him are, let's say, subpar. 9 minutes a game for Zaragoza in the Spanish league. He shot 34% from three and averaged 3 points per game with 0.7 assists. I don't really know what the hell to make of Krejci. It is a let's see what happens, keep him in Spain for 4 years sort of a pick and see where it goes. But they got him and we'll see what that is. But they did more stuff than that because they traded for Al Horford. Now, I don't think Horford's necessarily going to stay on this team, but they traded for Al Horford. They sent Danny Green out and they bring Al Horford in along with pick 38 and a 2025 first round pick. They got rid of Terrence Ferguson and Danny Green, and they got the rights to Vasily Micic, who is a very good European point guard, a former second round pick of the Sixers a few years ago. The Horford one's interesting. Will they look to ship him out again? Will they look to ship Steven Adams out? I don't think they're just going to say, well, we're starting Horford and Adams together now, because we saw that having Horford starting at power forward doesn't work. Now, they want to lose games, and they're going to lose games. Don't get that mixed up. They're going to lose games. I don't know what that role is for Horford, but they did it, and they got him, and we'll see exactly what that ends up meaning when more moves go down. But some activity. I love the Pokusevski. Is there any more diacriticals on names than there is for this Thunder group? Pokusevski, Maledon, Micic, and I'm very surprised that Krejci doesn't have one of those marks on his name as well. Al Horford just feeling a little bit left out there with all the other European names alongside him. At number 18, the Dallas Mavericks, Josh Green. Yeah, really strong pick. One of the best defenders in the class. I think corner threes might be okay. Finishing is a worry, but you're playing alongside Luka Doncic. You're going to get open corner threes. Can he be Dorian Finney-Smith? Can he be better than Dorian Finney-Smith, but a 2-3 rather than a 3-4? Yeah, I think he could be. I think it's a massive, massive pick that fits what this team needs, and he's an opportunity to be in the rotation. The problem is another Josh came across who's going to take a lot of those minutes. And they traded for Josh Richardson. They got a second round pick back as well. And they sent out Seth Curry. Now, they lose shooting, but they do get defense then. I don't know what this means for where Tim Hardaway goes, but a Doncic, Richardson, Hardaway at the three, Finney-Smith at the four, Porzingis at the five line. I remember Dwight Powell still rehabbing his Achilles. It's a pretty bloody terrifying unit. Can Richardson playing in a role offside Doncic and Porzingis recapture some of his form? I think he'll be more Philadelphia than Miami, but I think in a better area. It is still a little bit of a curious trade, even if you think Richardson's a better player than Curry, which you probably should, but in terms of how it fits, maybe Seth is a better option given his shooting. I think Philadelphia actually won that trade by getting Seth back and just going to Simmons and Embiid. You are just getting shooting, and that is it. You guys run everything, and everything around you is shooting. And that's sort of what they did. But then the Mavericks made another couple of really strong picks. At 31, they picked Tyrell Terry, who slid a long way. A shooter. Is he the Seth Curry replacement? It really looks like it. He's going to have to work to be a rotation player, and he's not going to be Seth Curry because Seth Curry is like a 45% three-point shooter. But it is a really strong pick to get him there. And then at 36, Tyler Bay. A guy that was projected in the first round. I don't think that Bay is going to be a solid NBA rotation player. I just think the offense is not there. But defensively, there's a lot to like. And this was the best offense in the NBA last season. So getting a guy that you can come in and actually be a defensive option, it's not a terrible idea. Much like getting Josh Richardson, much like getting Josh Green. So addressing some of those offensive issues and then getting the Terry replacement for Curry. I like what the Mavericks did here with this pick. Pick number 20, the Miami Heat. Hashtag Heat culture. We love how they develop guys. I hate it. I just hate it because I just don't know what Precious Achiuwa is. Actually, that's not true. I know what he is. He doesn't know what he is. Is he going to come in and be a backup center behind Bam Adebayo? Then fine, absolutely, no worries. Do you take an exclusive backup center at pick 20? It's a waste of time. I don't know why we're wasting so much draft capital on centers and backup centers at that. Could they coax the I'm an offensive superstar mindset out of Precious? They have to. Pat Riley should just come there and slap him and go, just calm down, my guy. You're not doing this. I just don't see the value in it. There were much better options there. I hate it. Realistically, I just hate the pick. I could be wrong. A lot of people like Precious a lot more than me. Let's talk about the Sixers because they killed it. Absolutely nailed it. 21, Tyrese Maxey. Love it. A guy that 29% shooting at Kentucky, he's a better three-point shooter than that, I assure you. He is a good shooter. This is a guy, can he play the Shake Milton role better than Shake Milton? Absolutely he can. Isaiah Joe, man, he should have been a top 20 pick. Love this. An absolute bomber. Can he be in the rotation straight away? Yes. Number 58, Paul Reed. How did he fall that low? A guy with defensive stats that are absolutely unbelievable. Undersized, sure, but will he play some backup center in a Philadelphia team that's constructed by Daryl Morey? Maybe, probably, yes. Love it at 58. And they bring in Danny Green to replace Josh Richardson. And they bring in Seth Curry. And they bring in that's not that exciting. Terrence Ferguson comes in, but Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, Danny Green, Seth Curry, Ben Simmons. Looks a little bit better and a little bit more space than what we saw last year. Tyrese Maxey off the bench. Isaiah Joe off the bench. Paul Reed in the mix. It's really, really strong work from Daryl Morey to make these moves and just say, Ben, Joel, everyone else can shoot. Do something. And I reckon it might work, but I don't know. But I do love it. I do love what they did. And I love Morey just going, putting his dick right on the table. Have a look at this sausage and everyone deal with it. I love it. At 22, the Denver Nuggets select Zeke Nnaji. Why are we wasting picks on centers? Now, Zeke Nnaji is probably the best pianist to ever be drafted into the NBA. It doesn't really mean shit, and he looks like a great bloke. Offensively, there's some talent there. Yes, Mason Plumlee has turned to trash before our very eyes. Jeremy Grant and Paul Millsap might be gone. But Nnaji's not a good defender. He's an offensive-only center. Again, value is not there at that spot. I don't hate it as a pick, though. I think it's okay. I just don't really understand it for this team. And then at 24, they traded with a future pick to the Pelicans to get RJ Hampton, who slid a long way. And that, I love. They can just develop the shit out of Hampton. Just let him sit behind the Blue Arrow, the headmaster, Jamal Murray, behind Gary Harris, behind Will Barton, behind Monty Morris. He won't play this year. We'll just see him in a couple of years' time and we'll see how it develops. I love the selection of RJ Hampton. Not as high on Zeke. Maybe if I saw Hampton 22, Nnaji at 24, I'd be a little bit happier with it. But overall, I think it's a pretty good result from the Nuggets to have those two picks in the 20s. The Utah Jazz. Traded out at 23, got some assets back from the Knicks. Good move. And then you use that pick 27 for Udoka Azubuike. Yes, he's got a long wingspan. He is a absolute chunky boy who is like a 40% three-point shooter who is going to get hacked his ass off the court. Stop wasting picks on centers. There is no excuse for it. They traded Tony Bradley and pick 38 to get off Tony Bradley because they brought Azubuike in. But explain that one to me. There's just no justification for it for me. Are they trading away Rudy Gobert now because he's going to get expensive and they're going to rely on Azubuike to be their starting center? Maybe I'm wrong. They picked Rudy Gobert in this area and look how good that turned out for them. I just don't see it for Azubuike. And then at 39, they selected Elijah Hughes. Wing out of Syracuse. Yeah, get some shooting. I'm not sure that was the best use of a pick at that area, which again, they traded for to get from the Pelicans. Robert Woodard was right there. That would have worked pretty nicely. Jordan Warra, CJ Alibi, Nico Mannion, Isaiah Friggin' Joe, Grant Riller. Any of those guys were available. I just don't think that it was the best use of pick 39. The Raptors killed it. Killed it. Pick 29, Malachi Flynn. If Fred VanVleet leaves, here's your replacement. Just a brilliant pick. Love it. I could not speak any highly of it. And then at 59, Jalen Harris, another killer of a pick. A good scoring guard. You know, a Norman Powell type. Who knows what they're doing with Terrence Davis. I could not like what the Raptors did from 29 and 59 anymore. Unbelievable stuff from them. In fact, the only team I may have liked more in terms of later picks were these next guys, the Grizzlies. They traded for both these picks and got the two guys who had fallen a long way. Desmond Bane at number 30. What an unbelievable move to get Bane at 30. And then at 35, they come in and trade with the Kings and get Xavier Tillman. Yes, there's Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson and Jonas Valanciunas there. Tillman will come in. He'll play. Gorgui Dieng's still there. He'll probably work his way in ahead of one of those guys at some point. Valanciunas won't be long for this team. You would think he's probably got another year there. Love the pick of Tillman and Bane. Bane's probably already better than Dylan Brooks, to be honest. Brooks is just not a good fit on this squad, and I would much rather have Bane playing those minutes than I would having Brooks there. I couldn't speak more highly about what the Grizzlies did here. The Clippers. Pick 33, Daniel Arturo. Stop wasting picks on centers. I hate this one for Arturo. I just don't think he's that good. 55 for Jay Scrubb. There was talk that Jay Scrubb was going to go at 16 to Portland. Now, that would have been stupid, but I think it's good value for them to get Scrubb at 55. A hyper-athletic JUCO guy, 6'6", scorer, shooter. He probably won't play, but it's worth a pick. But the most important thing they did was they traded Landry Shamet and they got Luke Kennard. Now, the only thing I can think here, yes, a Kennard's going to get expensive. Well, Detroit, he's going to get expensive. That's fine. He's 24 years of age and he's really good. His knees must be rooted. That's the only thing I can think of. He missed a ton of time with this bilateral knee soreness vagueness last year. But if he's healthy, it is dominating as a move because he is unbelievably significantly better than Landry Shamet. He can handle, he can score, he can shoot. He's an okay defender. He's probably a better player than Patrick Beverley at this point if we're being fair and he's fully healthy. I love it if he's healthy. The Aturu pick, you can take it. I'm not that happy with that one. Getting to the end here, the Milwaukee Bucks. They at number 45, they selected Jordan Nwora out of Louisville. They traded back into these second round picks because they thought they were getting the Bogdan Bogdanovic deal and they had no depth and now they're not getting him. So I don't know how this is all going to work. But Nwora is a 40% 3-point shooter on the wing who could find rotation minutes like in a Pat Connaughton sort of a spot. And then at 60, the last pick of the draft, Sam Merrill. Yeah, he's old. He's 24 years of age, but he's an unbelievable shooter. Again, getting shooting around Giannis, around Drew, around Brook, getting shooting is key. And Merrill, yeah, probably has only got 2 or 3 years before he retires, but getting him in as a guy that I need someone to shoot, can you do it? Yes, I can. There he is, and he's going to shoot for you. So I like what they did with those second rounders, despite the historic fuck-up with the Bogdan Bogdanovic scenario. At 46, the Blazers make their first appearance, and I think they did it well. 46, CJ Alibi, shooter out of Washington State, a 6'8 wing. Fine. We know that how much they struggled for wing depth last year. They've got Bob Covington there now. Does he play at the four? Maybe. Alibi's not going to start, but Gary Trent's there. Just another guy that they'll develop for a year, and then he might come in and be a 40% three-point shooter. I like what they did. Really, absolutely no complaints for the Blazers. The Rockets, I can complain about them all day because they are a disaster and they are going to be the worst team in the NBA very soon. At 52, they select Kenyon Martin Jr. Didn't play in college, went to prep school. I don't think he's really an NBA player. A little bit undersized for a four. He's like a 6'7 center type. Maybe that's what the Rockets want. He's not going to be. He's not a prospect that I'm overly excited about, but they did something. And then the Pacers, they had pick at 54 and they screwed it up as well. 6'6", Cassius Stanley out of Duke. There were other options available to them at that spot, like Grant Riller. Stanley is a wing who's athletic, who can't really shoot, can't really pass, can't really defend. And I just don't really see the point of the pick, and he's not going to be an impact guy. And then the last team we look at here is the Nets at 57. They selected Reggie Perry, center. He won't be any sort of impact guy, but they did bring in Landry Shamet, and they got him for the price of pick 19, which I think is a massive, massive deal. I don't think Shamet is overrated as a player, but as a spot-up shooter, yeah, if Joe Harris is there, if Joe Harris isn't, but off Kyrie, off KD, off James Harden, Shamet comes in, plays 20 minutes, bangs in 2.5 threes, absolutely. He is a role player who is fantastic on a very good team. Don't overtask him, and he'll be fine. Landry Shamet, for pick 19, an absolute steal of a win for your Brooklyn Nets. Only one team didn't make a selection, and that was the Lakers. And in 50 minutes, I've banged out 60 NBA draft picks. Let's have a look if there's any more news about undrafted guys signing. Let's have a look. There are... Who's this guy? Jaleel Tripp. Okay, he's a player. He's signing with the Grizzlies. Sam McDermott is signing with the Grizzlies. Marcus Howard is signing with the Nuggets. No, these aren't really moving the needle that much. Mason Jones to the Rockets. And that's all the news at this point that we've got on the undrafted guys. But tomorrow I'm going to be back. And I hope I'm going to be back. Yeah, fingers crossed I wake up. I'm going to be back to do you a Dynasty Rookie Rankings. And I'm not going to do it 1 through 70. I'm going to try and do them more in tiers this time, because that's how this draft really looks. It looks like a tiers sort of scenario. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll be back for that tomorrow. Don't forget the Discord server, the description's below. Everyone's been in there. It's been popping off. Appreciate everyone who's been a part of it. Appreciate Ben and Pasindu, who have been organizing. Fantastic stuff from those guys. Ben, of course, is my son. Pasindu is his mate from school. They've been setting this up and running it. Just really, really good stuff from both of those guys. But it's popping off over there, so go and check it out. There's going to be shows over the weekend, guys, because free agency kicks off on Friday. I'm going to be banging them out 7 days a week. You're probably going to get multiple shows a day some of these days as well. So some exciting stuff going on across the Locked On Podcast Network and on this show as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.